This is Bondi Tunes International Broadcasting around your world. I'm Henry in Sydney, Australia, and I'm joined hopefully by all our North America correspondents, Ronan Seagrave, going from north to south. Ronan Seagrave is in Vancouver, Canada. Dawn Drost, hopefully, is in Orlando, Florida. And Thomas Booker is in San Antonio de Bayal in Texas. It had to be done. And hopefully Dawn will be able to join us in a minute. I'm just going to ask you guys, because by the time we go to air, it'll be 2024. I could ask you all the bad things that went on in 23, but I'm going to ask you what the good things were, starting with you, Ronan, in Canada.
Well, that's a really interesting question. I mean, it's very easy to start talking about some of the negative things. I mean, I guess some of the positive things, I mean, it might sound an odd one for me to pick, but given that it hadn't happened in my lifetime, the king's coronation was at least interesting. because, you know, 70 years since there'd been a previous one and I wasn't around.
Yes.
And sort of all the sort of pomp and ceremony and bowing and scraping and everything kind of around in a pretty reasonable concert.
Let it be put on the record. An Irishman is talking about one of the great things. Hello, Dawn. Dawn Drost has joined us from Orlando, Florida.
I've been trying to join it. It keeps saying, oops, something went wrong.
Yes,
oops,
exactly what happened. We love Skype, don't we, Dawn?
Now something's finally gone right.
Dawn, we are on the air, by the way.
And I'm asking, hello, everybody.
Hello, and welcome to our broadcast. Ronan was just explaining the good things that happened in 2023, and one of them was the coronation. Please do continue, Ronan.
Well, as I say, it was interesting in seeing that kind of, you know, pomp and ceremony. I mean, it was slightly sort of toned down a bit. It was a much shorter ceremony than the previous one with Queen Elizabeth II over 70 mm-hmm. years ago. Mm-hmm. But it was still kind of fascinating, you know, Zadok the priest and being played out and the anointing of oils. And it was also kind of fascinating as to who was invited and who wasn't and who turned up and who didn't. But that was something that, you know, as a sort of historical event was kind of interesting that happened during the year. I guess, you know, the ongoing legal troubles of Donald Trump was probably in a kind of positive way a highlight. At least there were more and more indictments flying down. We have to see what happens.
I'm not letting you go there just yet, Ronan Seagrave, because that's part of the negative stuff. But I know what you mean, because there was a lot of positive results of what's happening with Donald Trump, which we'll talk about in a minute. Dawn Drost in Orlando, Florida. What was good for you in 2023?
I live in Florida.
I didn't prep anyone on this one.
I honestly wouldn't necessarily have chosen King Charles getting coronated as one of them personally.
No more than an Irish person would have, but then, you know, Ronan just did.
But it's
historical significance. That's my defense.
I mean, on a personal note, I returned to Special Olympics. That is something that I missed terribly. I was named Inspirational Coach of the Year. My children are doing well. Everyone's happy and relatively healthy. Florida hasn't entirely burned to the ground yet, despite its best efforts.
Oh dear. I think a
good thing that's come out of this is that we can all safely say that Ron DeSantis is not going to be the Republican candidate for president.
Is that right? I
don't think so. I mean, you can pretty much look at him at any of the debates and you can see the thoughts going through his head. Look at people, try to smile, ask somebody how they're doing. You can see the thoughts going through his head as he has to try to pretend that he's not operated by batteries.
Okay. Now, Thomas, you've had a chance to think about this, unlike our other correspondents. What was good for you in the year 2023?
I'm sorry, but you're talking to somebody who's not inherently an optimist. So.
Okay, yeah. You're a scientist, that's why.
Well, I could same. But I live in Texas, state of Texas, yeah. And it's just really hard to be optimistic with all the things going on here in this state, and the fact that we're being run by a completely corrupt governmental organization. And we've got the border, you know, deploying the razor wire on the border, sending state National Guard down, people coming across the border drowning, and all the other shenanigans just got awful. It's just, I'm just really trying to find, a bright light somewhere in the future. But now we're about to start the year where we're going to have the presidential elections, and it's going to be a really gut-wrenching, horrible, terrible, ghastly experience. And I have to experience them here in Texas. And I'm sorry, I just can't be optimistic.
Yeah, that's okay.
It's understandable. I mean, I'm a positive.
Yes.
If I may, a positive for me is that since Elon Musk has bought Twitter and gotten away with all of the safety people and all of the protocols, is I am now allowed to insult Ted Cruz as much as I want. He is not allowed to complain about me as much as he previously did. So I have been able to insult him almost daily, and I don't get a shadow ban for it for 24 hours at a time, because then he'd have to shadow ban everybody else.
God bless Elon Musk. Did I just say that?
So I can tell him what a good for nothing POS he is, and yes. Then he can't go back and say, she threatened me. No, I didn't. I told the truth. I just happened to use a picture of you in a diaper with beads in your hair from when you ran away to Cancun.
Okay. Well, look, you know, for me, what was good about 2023 was the fact that there seems to be some control over the coronavirus. And I think that was a big move because, you know, in the previous 2 years, it was pretty bad. So I think that's a positive thing, that we've got some kind of control over this. I'm not saying it's gone, even though the media, you know, I see on television, on news reports, it says post-COVID. There's no such thing as post-COVID. It's still around.
It won't be. This never going to be.
It'll never will be. It'll just be a new strain and another new strain and another
new
strain.
Well, that's right. It's a bit like the flu. We just got to get used to this. The other positive thing I would say is regarding Elon Musk, of all people, he's putting satellites all over Australia. Now, if you're listening, wherever you're listening in the world, you will already know that Australia is a massive country and a big continent as well. And a lot of it is, you know, in desert, really, and Telstra, our national carrier, Telco, has been charging a fortune for bad services on internet in rural areas. Elon Musk comes along with satellites, and they will be soon getting super fast connections in the middle of nowhere, which I think is fantastic. Right now, Ronan, I just want to go to a story that I just saw that's going on in Canada, and it is quite disturbing with regard to, let me just get this up, I can't find it now. See, this is what happens when you're on chemo.
Happens to me all the time.
Anyway, there's something coming out of Canada, and I can't find where it is.
Meanwhile in Canada.
Yes, I did send a link up, but it's gone. Still, doesn't matter.
We're still recovering, Henry, from Justin Trudeau's Christmas message, which was delivered with his usual total lack of sincerity. He's been having to deal with ongoing sort of publicity around his ex-wife who was named, or put it this way, the person that she's seeing, who is a doctor, in a country, not a prominent hospital, was sort of, you know, named in his wife's sort of divorce suit as the reason why the marriage irretrievably broke down, and even though there's no fault divorces, he was named as sort of admitting adultery, and it's believed that that person is Sophie Trudeau. So she is.
Does that matter? You know, Ronan?
Well, no, I don't think it does. I think the other thing that I don't think people care at all. No, I think Justin probably does, but I don't think anybody else does. The other thing, though, that she has done, Henry, is that she has re-registered herself as a speaker. So it would seem that Sophie's about to go on the international circuit. Available, no doubt, for a fairly hefty fee for sort of after dinner speaking or speaking at various events. So she's like kind of got back into business, And looking to earn, one would think, fairly large sums of money from this.
To his chagrin, I am sure.
I don't think, again, Justin would be thrilled with that either. Now, I imagine there's something in, no doubt, the copious amounts of paperwork between the two of them that she can't just stand up and start revealing some things that could create difficulties for Justin. And she'd be conscious, you know, of their children and not wanting to do that. But I doubt, again, that was seen as a welcome development.
Yeah, absolutely. And the story I was grasping to get hold of was this very sad news coming out of Ottawa in Canada. A body of a second teen recovered from Ottawa River after reports boys fell through ice. And you know, here in Australia, we in northern Queensland, we have awful storms and people are dying. You know, at this time of the year, Ronan, that is very sad. Amit, he was only 17 years old.
You know, there are designated, after various assessments, you know, assessments done of whether it's safe to walk on ice, whether that's on rivers and people sort of, you know, skiing up and down them, or, you know, using sleds or whatever up and down them, and obviously on lakes where people do ice fishing. But one of the things that's interesting this year, Henry, is that Canada's having an exceptionally mild winter.
And that's a problem with ice, of course.
Yeah, and so the ice, you know, those boys may well have thought that the ice would be as thick as it would be at this time of the year in previous years, but that's just not the case, Henry. We just simply haven't had, you know, belts of brutally cold winter weather and snow. It just simply hasn't happened anywhere, Henry, in Canada. I mean, it's quite extraordinary.
Surely they must be onto this, Ronan. I mean, you know, you would think that the authorities would have warnings. Maybe they do have warnings out.
They probably do, Henry, and they probably sort of said, you know, that the ice is not thick enough right now because of the mildness of the winter for people to be standing on it. But, you know, teenagers and who knows, who just decided to go on it. But normally, yes, Henry, there are sort of announcements made that it is safe to go on various rivers because they've sort of checked out how thick and deep the ice is and looked at the weather. But as I say, this winter has been so mild that, you know, that might have been fine in December in previous winters, but it's not this year. It just simply hasn't been cold enough.
Yep, climate change, anybody? Dawn and Thomas, no ice skating for you over this period, I imagine. What's going on in your states? How did the holidays go for you? Any particular dramas going on in the state of Florida or the state of Texas where everyone's kind of a bit slower?
Well, I'll give the negative and Dawn can give the positive since she has
That's a balance. But God, I need a beer.
Wait, hold it a second. Sorry. Henry.
That was not a subtle hint. Actually, it was. Okay, sorry. Thomas, thank you for the beer. It's just come over here in 3.2 seconds. Amazing
stuff.
End,
man, it's still working. Maybe when Starlink comes up, man, I can give you a tall boy there.
Yeah, there's of Elon, yeah. Anyway, Thomas.
Well, I mean, among all the other dreadful things going on, and I don't want to inform the world about the just absurd, god-awful, nasty politics of the state of Texas itself, but we have the issue of, once again, about the border crisis, the migrants coming in from Central America mainly and South America. Also with Argentina and Venezuela having all their destabilization, and there's this massive migration of people trying to make it into Texas, which is Trump, he exploited that situation some years back about they're coming in to take us over and they're going to replace us and all of this. But anyway, our governor here in Texas has basically taken the law onto himself. He's going around stomping around like he's John Wayne and he's Mr. Mr. Take Action make the effort, but don't go apologizing ahead of time. Just apologize after the fact, but don't even apologize for that because we're keeping them out of our state, that kind of thing. So he has overridden the federal government and has started arresting and and this is the same game that Ron DeSantis and Greg Abbott have been playing about shipping immigrants from the south, to cities in the north to teach them liberals a lesson. So he has now sent his own military. Our Texas National Guard is down there, and he is now creating his own immigration enforcement that he has no right to do under the Constitution. That anybody coming in onto the shores of the United States can apply for immigration status and be accepted as citizens. But
Thomas, do you ever think that everyone, like the lunatics, are running the world? Because you've got, we'll talk about Donald Trump in a second, but you've got a, you know, this lunatic running Texas, and Dawn, you poor thing, Ron DeSantis is your state governor, and I saw him doing a speech recently. What was he saying in that famous, now infamous speech, Dawn Drost?
I don't know. Which one?
Okay, which one is a good question. I don't know. Does anyone know this? Because I can't remember the details. I just know that he was telling women to be... I don't know. He was talking about sexuality, and it was all over the place.
God.
He has a problem whenever he starts talking about women and the roles women should play. And especially women in sports and women. He's, nobody likes him.
Mm.
Well, let me rephrase. A lot of people don't like him.
He still got voted in.
Don, here in Texas, we're being run, basically our governor and the lieutenant governor and the whole government that run by the Republicans is basically a crime syndicate. And I don't know, is it more or less the same for you in Florida? Okay,
yes.
So
I mean, our the head of our health department, he brought in, I don't remember his first name, Ladapo. Mm-hmm. He's not even a real doctor. And he brought him in just so he could tell everybody that vaccines weren't real, that science wasn't real. He's made a point of using the... We have... your local county sheriffs, you have the police department, the city police department, your county sheriffs. There's also something here in Florida, kind of like the Texas Rangers, called FDLE, Florida Department of Law Enforcement. They're their own higher entity that's like below the FBI or what it would be. It's like the highest form of law enforcement in Florida. And he's been using them to go after his political opponents or just anybody that's wronged him. But he's also just taken to going out of his way to, you know, like his punitive battle with Disney. You know, he gave Universal Studios a special district, but he took away Disney's. He's made a point when the new budget came out this year, the only items that he personally vetoed, he only took off three line items out of the entire budget for the year. And these were three line items that were for Orange County here in Orlando. These directly impacted the LGBTQ plus community.
Yes.
One of them was for a motel that had been purchased already and was going to be turned in, converted, upgraded to be hurricane proof. That was going to withstand category 4 or above hurricanes. And it was going to be used as homeless housing and transitional housing for homeless trans teens. And he vetoed the money for that. It was not much. It was $78,000.
Oh, are you kidding
in a
me?
Budget of, in a budget of over like $1 billion. He vetoed like... Truly, he vetoed like $125,000, and it was three programs that benefited gay kids and trans kids.
But he
is—that's all cruelty. It was for.
Yeah, he's basically cruel.
That's all it was for.
He likes tearing the wings off butterflies. He's just a god.
And he's playing to his base, you know.
Oh yeah,
it's really all is.
That's it.
Theater. Yeah.
Okay.
But then you have to remember the Moms for Liberty here in Florida. That's where they have started. that the head of the Republican Party here in Florida, that gentleman just got kicked out because he and his wife, who is one of the co-founders of Moms for Liberty, he has been charged with rape because they were in a throuple with another woman who's like barely legal. And and you know, the Moms for Liberty are very much anti-LGBTQ as well. Yes. And this young woman, they revealed text that said that the young woman and the gentleman who is no longer the head of the Republican Party were trying to meet up with her. And she said, well, is your wife going to be there? And he said, no. And she's like, well, I don't want to meet up with you because I was only coming to see your wife. And he went to her house and attacked her. And now they have found, whilst executing search warrants in conjunction with the rape allegations, they have found sex tapes involving the Mom for Liberty's co-founder, young woman, and her husband. Yeah. And it's been delightful because people have been going to meetings because she is the head of the school board in Sarasota County. Because that's what they've been doing. They've been installing themselves in school boards all over the state and all over the country. But they started here, lucky me. So they've been getting the books banned and pulled. So people have been going to their school board meetings saying, I don't want you removed from the school board because you're a hypocrite who was involved in a three-way and had it taped. I want you removed from your post because you're bad at your job. That's why. But they kept pointing out that I want you, please understand, yes, I am pointing out that you're an absolute hypocrite, but I want you removed because you misused the funds.
Gosh,
it's just so take the books away that would have helped children identify their sexual identity when clearly you already know yours, as we know because the video footage has been leaked online.
That's a soap opera for sure.
So there you go. I have fallen through ice. I would not recommend it.
Okay. And you're not even in Canada.
I'm not the guy who cared about love, and I'm not the guy cared about fortunes and such, never cared much.
Oh, look at you now.
I never knew the technique of kissing. I never knew the thrill I could get from your touch. Never knew much.
Oh, look at you now. You're a new man, better than Casanova at his best.
With a new heart, a brand new start, I'm so proud I'm busting my vest.
So you're the guy who turned out a lover.
Yes, I'm the guy who laughed at those blue diamond rings. One of those things.
But look at you now.
The guy who cared about love, and he's not the guy who cared about fortunes and such, cared about much, but look at him now.
I'm a lover.
He never knew the technique of kissing. He never knew the thrill he could get from her touch. Never knew much, but look at him now.
Man, I really come on.
He's a new man, better than
Casanova and his best rider.
With with a new start, a brand new heart.
He's so proud he's busting his vest. So he's the guy who turned out a lover. So he's the guy who laughed at those blue diamond rings. One of those things.
But look at me now.
He's a new man, better than Casanova. At his best, he's got some new job and it's really fun.
Why, I'm so proud, I'm busting my vest.
He's a lover. Yes, we know he's a lover. Yes.
I laughed at those blue diamond rings. Just one of those things.
But look at him now.
Jack, I'm ready.
Look at him now.
Bondi Tunes International. From the golden sands of Bondi Beach. Across your world.
If you just joined us, I'm Henry for Bondi Tunes International on Bondi Beach in Sydney, Australia. Ronan Seagrave is in Vancouver, Canada. Dawn Dross is in Orlando, Florida. And Thomas Booker is in San Antonio de Bahia, yeah, in Texas. And now...
The Christmas itself was lovely.
To you, Ronan, in Canada, Maine, the state of Maine in the United States, has removed Donald Trump from the primary ballot at the second state to bar the former president. Is this a big deal?
Well, I think it just adds to the sort of necessity, I think, to get a Supreme Court ruling on this as soon as possible. I mean, there was a hearing, I think, yesterday in Michigan, which declined not to remove Donald Trump from the ballot. And I think just for context, mm-hmm. this was around the ballot for the Republican nominations, the primaries that are coming up, but clearly would likely have been repeated if Trump, as he probably will be, the nominee going ahead on the presidential ballot. So I think it heightens the whole issue of a Supreme Court case here, a Supreme Court ruling. I think it's extremely unlikely that the Supreme Court's going to rule that Donald Trump should be removed from the ballot. I just don't see that happening. But I think it increases the kind of urgency, I think, for the Supreme Court to deal with this. As we know, we're heading into 2024, which is the year of elections. We're going to have
The U.S.
presidential election. Yeah, we're going to have a general election in the United Kingdom. And there's going
I didn't know that.
Yes, there's going to be one probably in October.
Oh, listen, I've got to interrupt you, Ronan, because I'm fascinated by this. I did not know there was a general election in the United mm-hmm. Kingdom, which is currently running with a Conservative government. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, will that go to the left?
I think it's at this stage, Henry, it's highly likely that Keir Starmer's Labour Party probably win a majority. I mean, some polls are saying it might be a very large majority. I think a lot for Labour in the UK depends how well they do in Scotland. Put it this way, if they can get a significant swing in a majority of seats in Scotland, and they'd have to win a lot of these seats back from the Scottish Nationalist Party, if they did that, it would reduce, say, almost a 20% swing that they would need in England to get a majority down to just 5%. So a lot for them would hinge. But I think a more likely outcome than not is a change of government. I think the Conservatives, having had so many prime ministers over the last year, with Theresa May, Boris Johnson, the 30-day Liz Truss disaster, that now Rishi Sunak, I think there's just sort of a feeling that the Conservatives are unable to manage themselves or mind the country, and that a change of government.
Hey, Ronan, I would like to get some insight from you on that. I mean, I'm always going back to post-Brexit, and I was always fascinated about the aftermath of that and the devolution that Scotland was pursuing, and also the fact that Ireland might... This is all big package. It's just something I was just hoping would happen, that Ireland would kind of unify, and Scotland would both would join with the European Union and disavow Brexit and leave England on its own. I mean, this is a fantasy I have.
That's a huge fantasy, Thomas.
Well, none of which I think is likely to happen, Thomas.
Oh, certainly not the unification of Ireland anytime soon.
No.
But I was just wondering about the dynamics of that. Well, because the whole thing about Ireland is that there's no reason for there to be a Northern Ireland separate from Southern Ireland, because it's a very... The whole society there is changed. They don't have the Catholic versus Protestant crisis. I mean, things are very liberalized there, and they don't hold to their old mentality.
Sort of. I mean, I think that if you wanted to put a cold chill down the spine of the Irish Prime Minister, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, talking about Irish unity would be one way of doing it. Yes, I mean, you know, Sinn Féin could get into power in the south, but I don't see this happening.
But there's no discontent that would fire up Sinn Féin. I mean, there's nobody.
I think the immediate issues in Northern Ireland are about getting the assembly going, and that's been sort of bogged down by the ongoing Northern Ireland protocol. And for listeners, this is an issue around having freedom of with England, the UK, I beg your pardon, having left, with Northern Ireland having left the European Union, around sort of free movement of goods and having minimum checks between goods flowing between
yes.
the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK. So I think the immediate issue is trying, and there are more efforts going on around that right now to get the assembly going. I think the next general election will not be in the UK, will not be about Brexit per se. I think it is probably more likely that a Keir Starmer-led Labour government might make different moves to the EU around sort of trade and around tariffs and possibly very baby steps around at some point the UK maybe rejoining the customs union, which would make a lot of sense. I don't see, perhaps in my lifetime, the UK rejoining the EU, and it doesn't matter whether even a large majority of people in the UK suddenly thought that would be a good thing. It would require other members of the EU agreeing to that, and that would not happen for years and years. But I do see a Starmer government would look for a Labour government would look for a broader reset with the EU around things like trade, maybe sort of very early steps, certainly things around harmonisation and trying to make things easier, and maybe very, very baby steps around rejoining mm-hmm. the customs union, I can see happening.
Yeah, Roland, I just want to quickly mention before we've gone off the subject, but that's okay, because there's always there's always another subject following a subject, I find. Right, now, just one thing about this whole business of Sinn Féin, because you and I, Roland, we grew up in the Republic of Ireland, and we knew Sinn Féin to be the political wing of the IRA, which were and still are a terrorist organization. It's very interesting in recent elections, that particularly you mentioned the Republic of Ireland, where Sinn Féin are doing remarkably well. But these kids who are doing this voting, it's mostly young voters who are voting Sinn Féin, they don't remember, or they choose not to remember, or they weren't taught in school. I don't know. But they don't seem to know about Sinn Féin's ugly past, Ronan Seagrave.
No, I agree. I think the party has effectively, in the South, the Republic certainly, rebranded itself as a kind of sort of left-wing, very populist-type party, you know, promising kind of
very
simple solutions to complex problems like housing and other things. So it has even sort of been accused recently of sort of flirting a bit with sort of the far right around the recent riots in Dublin and trying to make sort of political capital about it. So it has become a very populist party. It would like to see itself as a progressive party, but I don't know of any progressive party in the world that is opposed to property and carbon taxes. So that doesn't fit well with that kind of label. It is more a populist party. But here's the thing, Henry, they've sort of been slipping in the polls a bit, you know, going down by various points. And it would seem as of now an election is some way off. There probably won't be an election in Ireland until 2025, and there'll have to be one. But it seems unlikely, Henry, that they would be able to govern on their own. So even if they wanted to get into power, they would have to do a deal with either or both sort of Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, which obviously would act as a kind of severe kind of dampener. I think there were other concerns from people of our age, Henry, who remember the Troubles and remember all the horrible things and the atrocities that happened.
Yes.
What I find really objectionable is that there's this constant tweeting by generally an organization called Ogra Sinn Féin, which is based on young Sinn Féin, endlessly pointing out, commemorating IRA volunteers who died. Now, and we're talking about people who died while trying to plant bombs and were involved in various atrocities.
Jeez.
And they trying to glamorize these people as sort of some kind of heroes is for people of my age a bit abhorrent, and one of many reasons why I would never ever vote for them.
Okay. Ronan, how do they lean? Are they leaning socially conservative?
Populist.
It's a terrible term, isn't it? Populist. I mean,
well, it's a sort of Henry. I mean, bits of left wing stuff here, bits to the sort of, you know, flirting a little bit with the far right. I mean, the joke about Mary Lou McDonald, who's the leader of the party, is she gets up every morning, goes outside, sticks her finger up and see what way the wind's blowing, and then decides to go in that direction. So they would see themselves as a left-wing progressive party. But when you get into some of their actual policies, like why are they opposed to a carbon tax? Why are they opposed to property tax? You start to get into policies where you see there isn't that much alignment, and
what about women's rights and women's rights inside?
There are two factions within the party. There is a more socially conservative part of it, mainly in the north, actually, which would sort of have differing views around abortion, but and things like that. Then the sort of in the south, the more sort of prevailing liberal view that we're ardent, we're very supportive of women's rights and access to abortion, and there has been a lot of flip-flopping on issues like that, whereas again they just test the public mood and go with it, you know.
Okay, now we must
my bubble's been popped. Okay,
that's like Thomas, yeah, just make a final point on this.
Sorry, but no, it just is. I'm sorry. I was hoping that there would be more progressivism. I've with all the things being cleared away, and the Scotland and Ireland, all of them resenting the fact that they were taken out of Brexit. Because of Brexit, they are alienated from the European Union. And I was just sort of thinking that all the other factors, I'm just curious. I was kind of hoping there would be a dynamic where they would split away from the...
No, I don't. I think just very briefly, Henry, on the Scottish Nationalism. I mean, the Scottish National Party has been beset by scandals involving not one but two former leaders. The leader sort of in the 90s and into the noughties, Alex Salmond, was cleared actually of various charges of sort of sexual harassment and matters of that nature. The next previous leader, Nicola Sturgeon, who was there for I think over a decade, she has been arrested but not charged. Her husband, who is also, I think, a kind of head of finance or some executive role in the Scottish National Party, may well be facing charges. And this has to do with money. Their houses were raided. There's a camper van that's become kind of notorious, parked in the driveway of their house, that people are suggesting, are alleging, was paid for out of Scottish National Party funds. So they've sort of been a bit beset by these sort of scandals and issues, which again presents a big opportunity for Labour.
You think that I can live without your love? You'll see. You think I can go on another day? You think I have nothing without you by my side? You'll see, somehow, some way. You think that I can never laugh again?
You have just joined us. I'm Henry for Bondi Tunes International in Sydney, Australia. Ronan's in Vancouver in Canada. Dawn Drost is in Orlando, Florida. And Thomas Booker is in Texas. Now, and another beer for him. Now, we were talking about Maine removing, the state of Maine, removing Donald Trump from the primary ballot. That's the second state to do it. But Dawn Drost, Colorado was the first.
Yes.
State by state, you know, in your state of Florida, where does the voting fall for all this in terms of support for Donald Trump, given that DeSantis was going for his job, should, you know, in the elections in this in the year of 2024 in November?
Trump will win Florida.
OK.
Unfortunately,
I guess that was a rhetorical question.
Yes, I know you were aiming for it to be, but
yes, I was.
As it always is, there's only one or two major metropolitan areas in the state of Florida that Orlando is really the last bastion of democracy in the state, and Gainesville. Up north where the University of Florida is, because it has a lot of younger voters. But Tampa, which had been relied upon to be a Democratic area, has in the last couple of years taken a hard turn towards the far right. So, and as has Miami. So really, it's just...
Do you feel lonely?
Orlando.
I know Thomas feels lonely in Texas.
In my county, honestly, I am one of the only ones. Yes. It's like my household.
You mentioned that when you go to school, you know, you got kids in school and all the other moms. I don't know if you're best friends with any of them, because it would seem to me that they're all very Republican orientated.
No, I don't talk about...
You don't talk politics.
No. Because it would not go well. They know where we stand, because my son is the only one in the entire school.
So is every
including staff that wears a mask.
So is that right?
Out of 1,200, and that includes the staff. He is the only one that wears a mask. When I show up, I'm the only one that wears a mask. They know exactly where we stand.
They know where you're coming from. I hope Everett's not being bullied because of this, your son.
Endlessly.
Oh, dear. But he's a tough guy.
Endlessly.
Right? He's a tough guy. Okay, now, before we go, I just want to talk about Michael Caine. My name is Michael Caine. Do you know that he never actually said that, guys? He did. Where? I know he did it on a talk show.
There's a record made by the pop group Madness.
Yes.
Where is about Michael Caine, and the band ended up meeting Michael Caine in a sort of bar or nightclub and said they were making this record, and would he agree to do it? So through the song, we sort of go, "All I wanted was a word of autograph to keep." You have Michael Caine going, "My name is Michael Caine."
Okay, and also he's been interviewed in Australia, I think, and he. He said he'd never said that. Now, I do remember that song, Ronan. But he did say, no, I've never said that. And the interviewer, whose name escapes me, said, "Can you say it now?" And he goes, "Okay, my name is Michael Caine." And by the way, on a side note, I met Suggs from Madness. He's a lead singer. In the Bondi Beach Road Hotel, literally across the road from me. I was up there playing pools and... pool, I should say. And I recognised him, kind of. And he was playing pool with me. And I said, "You are who you are." And he goes, "Yeah." So I bought him a beer. Then he bought me a beer. Then I bought him a beer. And it was a long night. And it was a lot of fun. Anyway, Michael Caine said he was retiring. But he's not. Which I find quite interesting, because he's 90 years old.
Wow.
And inverted commas says news.com.au, retired star Michael Caine reportedly set for a Netflix comeback. You know, we do remember him from the movie Alfie, of course, in 1964. But really, he was quite a big star well before that. I mean, he did lots of films.
I like him in the late 50s.
Zulu was really a big movie, yeah. Sorry?
Yeah, this line from Zulu was, "Put away those bloody spears."
That's right. A Cockney Londoner. I thought he was playing a posh guy in that movie. Maybe I was wrong.
He was like playing an upperclassman officer.
That's what I thought.
He was the Cockney. It was really great. He was just good at it.
Yeah, I like him in a Muppet Christmas Carol.
Was he very good in the Muppet Christmas Carol?
I've never seen anyone be so angry to be around a bunch of Muppets.
Okay,
you truly, because he's being Ebenezer Scrooge, and he's just angry almost the entire time. And I'm just like, how can you be that angry when you're next to Kermit the Frog? I just don't understand it.
and he's such a good actor too.
He is. Yeah. You're just like, uh-huh.
I reckon Zulu was his first big movie. He was in The Icarus File, of course. The Italian Job, great film with the four minis. Is that right?
And don't forget,
Sean
Connery and Michael Caine in The Man Who Would Be King, directed by John Huston. That was the most brilliant. That's the best acting both of them did ever in their career. It was an excellent film.
I think he was an unlikely star, if I may say so. Here's this working class guy from East London.
Yes.
And I think even though he had these successes like The Icarus File and also Zulu, Alfie really did put him on the international stage. I remember him saying, I'm not going to even try and do his accent, but he said, the minute I got that success, I went out and bought a yellow Rolls Royce. And he said, I was so young and stupid, I just went out and bought a yellow Rolls Royce. How about that? But what a great guy. And he is 90 years old. And it always reminds me that people don't seem to get old, especially if you're an actor. You don't retire until you retire. And he's still compos-mentis. And he's going to continue. And Netflix does this to people, you know, guys.
Yeah. Well, I hope they bring some of his other movies back. I don't know if any of you've seen Noises Off. It's a fun play. And he was in the movie adaptation of it. Oh. And he was delightful in that. He was the director.
Wow. He's also led, I think, it has to be said, a scandal-free life. You know, he—that's
a good point.
Married a lady many, many years ago, and there's never been a suggestion of anything. He's always come across, I think, actually, as quite a sort of easygoing, kind of decent person. You know.
Yeah. Well, he's the kind of guy you'd see in the East End, just walking down the street, smoking a cigarette, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of people would not remember this, but in 1987, he was actually in Jaws, The Revenge. And I remember seeing him and thinking, that's an odd placement for him. But of course, he did
He did that for money, Henry.
I'm sure he did.
Which is probably why he's doing Netflix at 90.
Well, yes. I was just about to say, Netflix seemed to get these guys and girls out of the closet, so to speak, the retirement closet, and they get them back in the scene, and they will take it for the money. I'll tell you what, my favourite my favourite movie, see, that's chemo kicking in here, folks. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Wasn't that lovely?
Oh, he was terrific in that, yeah.
And, of course, you know, Steve Martin. What's not to love about Steve Martin? I guess we gotta go. My God, time moves on very quickly when I've got you guys on the air. Thank you so much to you both, or to you all, I should say.
It was all time well spent, as far as I'm concerned. But
oh, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And thank you all. That's Ronan Seagrave in Canada, Dawn Drost in Florida, Thomas Booker in San Antonio de Bay in Texas. Thank you all. Thank you all so much for joining me. And we'll talk again soon.
Let's do
Thank
it.
You. Happy New Year, everybody. Thank you.
Y'all don't be strangers.
This is Bondi Tunes International. This is Very Real Radio.
My name is Michael. I am Michael Caine. 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 Oh.
think we've got it there.
And we do believe you. My name is Michael Caine. Thanks so much to our North America correspondents for this 1 hour special. I'm Henry in Sydney, Australia. This is Bondi Tunes International. Quick word about our website, bonditunes.com, bonditunes.com, where you can hear all our shows on demand, our plus show, which is music from the 40s to the 90s, and our love show, Love Is On The Air, as well as this two-hour chat show. Do not go away, though. There's another hour of Bondi Tunes International coming up very soon.
Sometimes I wonder where I've been, who I am, do I fit in? Make believing is hard alone. Out here on my own, we're always proving who we are, always reaching for that rising star to guide me far and shine me home. Out here on my own. When I'm down and feeling blue, I close my eyes so I can be with you. Oh, baby, be strong for me. Baby, be love to me. Help me through. Help me. Never show out here on my own. But when I'm down and feeling blue, I close my eyes so I can be with you. Oh, baby, be strong for me. Baby, be love to me. Help me need you. Sometimes I wonder where I've been, who I am, do I fit in? I may not win, but I can't be thrown.
From Australia, this is Bondi Tunes.
The sun never sets on Bondi Tunes.